Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Wall Street Memes Casino.
I'm fine.
And Sportsbook.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV, and I've got to say it's a fantastic morning, and it's made even better. Now I'm talking to Mr. Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. I know you've done your gym work already. I've been doing talk sport and a raft of interviews, but I was really looking forward to my sparring partner interview with you. Thank God Coogan's in a car on the way to Birmingham to get Eddie Hearn's reaction to it all today, no doubt, on both Canelo and Oscar De La Hoya overnight, the Ryan Garcia absolute debacle. But it's great to see you. I shall be out on the rivers paddle boarding later and having a little bike ride. But I know you've been on the bags thinking about me. Boom.
Gareth, I've got a big massive picture of your head on the punch bag, and I punch it every morning. Every morning I just punch it.
I knew that. I've known that. You've been doing it for 2.5 years now as well. So
you're waiting till I know
they all want the fight between us, but I'm still running a little bit. I'm not quite ready for it yet. I'm not quite fit enough.
I know exactly what you're doing, Gareth. You're doing a Mayweather. You're waiting till I get old like Pacquiao. You're waiting for the right time to get me, and then you're going to go for it. So I'm on to you.
I'm gonna wait till you've got no hair left on your head.
It won't be long then, Gaff. That might be next week. Listen, I want to talk about the Canelo Oscar De La Hoya situation because it was fun last night. I like it when we get this sort of animosity between people. I like it for some reason, but I want to dive straight into this Ryan Garcia thing because it's breaking news from last night. I believe Dan Raphael broke the story. Ryan Garcia, 2 failed drug tests, 1 the day before the fight, I think 1 on the day of the fight for Osterine. Now, that's another steroid or drug, performance enhancing drug, I've got no idea about. I just want to get your initial reaction to all this.
Well, it's very serious. I mean, and it's an absolute stain on the sport because what have we been doing for nearly 2 weeks? Celebrating the amazing victory of Ryan Garcia. And now that's completely nullified if he has tested positive for Osterine and it is veritable and he can't prove that it wasn't in his system, because whatever he's done, whether it's deliberate or not, it was in his system. And as Victor Conti said, you know, if you're pregnant, you're pregnant. It's as simple as that. Doesn't matter the quantity in the system. It's qualitative, not quantitative. If you've got it in your system, it's in there. Osterine has been banned on the World Anti-Doping Agency list, Andy, since 2008. It's a very serious drug. It creates lean muscle mass in the user and is notably used today, or has been used, in the treatment of women's breast cancer. obviously for strengthening of tissue. Now, we know that Ryan Garcia has put out multiple videos overnight proclaiming his innocence, that he's never taken a steroid or never cheated, but he's got 10 days now for that B sample to be tested. Obviously, they cut the samples in half when they take them, and it's the A and the B are the same samples, but they're just cut in half. So he's got to go ahead and do that, in my view, if he believes he's innocent. We don't want one of these scenarios where he's just saying, no, I'm not a cheat. I've never cheated in my life. Don't accuse me of it. I'm not that kind of man. He needs to prove it scientifically now. And if it has found up in his system, there needs to be a reason why. If he has been taking supplements and there's something in a supplement, then we need to know why. What we need is full transparency. But it's a horrible stain on the sport. And I absolutely get at the moment why Devin Haney has put out a statement saying this puts the fight in a completely different light.
Going with the, just in light of what you've just said and all that, that he has to prove his innocence, but going on sort of Ryan Garcia's behaviour over the last 2-3 months, I'm getting the sense that he might not even want to prove this. He might just sit back and say, listen, I'm innocent. I don't care what you think. I'm just going to sit here, believe me or not. I'm just going to keep posting videos. And it just seems like he's just so, not like he doesn't care, Gareth. I don't know what I'm looking for, but it seems like he's just going to, he's so laid back. I don't think he would even prove this B sample, if I'm being honest with you.
What? Who does it remind you of?
Tell me.
Well, it seems like the Conor Benn situation all over again. Yep. I can't possibly have cheated because I'm not a cheat. No, you may not be a cheat. You may not have done it deliberately, but you've got to prove why it was in your system. Mm-hmm. Strict liability, again, is those two words. Prove how it got there, even if you didn't do it intentionally, and in which case you can get, you can not be banned. You can prove that it was a mistake you made. Otherwise, he's facing a long ban. And for those other five guys, let's say in that grouping from 140 to 147, your likes of Teo Lopez and Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, Keyshawn Davis, Tank Davis. It just wrecks that whole, you know, group of fights that we're going to have. Because in many ways, Ryan Garcia made himself the draw, if you like. He was always the golden goose because he can sell a fight because his huge social media reach. But it just puts so many of those massive fights in jeopardy. The knock-on effect, the ripple effect on the pond is so damaging for that group of fighters. People might say, no, what a load of nonsense. But no, what he did with that victory over Devin Haney was put himself in the frame for a rematch with Tank Davis that we would all have wanted to see, maybe at 145, 147, the fights with Teo Lopez, the rematch with Devin Haney. You know, there's so many fights there, and Garcia had put himself in the frame. It's an absolute disaster for the boxer and for the sport as a whole at the moment. Real stain on the sport at the moment, Andy.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, Gareth, to be honest with you. But are you a conspiracy theorist? Because I've seen that Ryan Garcia came out and said like he's like Donald Trump, it's fake news. And then Gervonta Davis, I don't know if you've seen Gervonta Davis's tweet, I believe he said they're doing anything they can to take this win away from Ryan. And I think he said something along the lines, if that's the case, then ban Eddie Hearn. If that is the case, that is a conspiracy theory, or they are trying to take this win away from him. He's basically calling for a ban on Eddie Hearn and his silver spoon ass. I believe that's his quotation from Gervonta Davis.
Well, look, Gervonta is getting in on the act here, and maybe wants the rematch with Ryan Garcia. He'll be eyeing big bucks for that. I mean, I believe he earned $40 million for that first fight, if I'm right in recalling. I think we're making judgments on, there's no statement out at the moment from VADA, I believe. We will get that in the next 24 to 48 hours, if not this morning, when they wake up in America, in their morning rather, our afternoon. And that's not far away now. You know, we're in the later morning as we speak. Yep. I expect the Voluntary Anti-Doping Agency to put out a statement because obviously ESPN have reported it in the US overnight as we woke up, obviously leaked out. My old mate Dan Raphael has put a story out as well. There's also secondary reports of 19 norandrosterone unconfirmed screened in the test as well, which makes it even more serious, of course, Andy. I think let's wait for the statement, first of all, before the counterintelligence is verified or not. That, look, he's proclaimed his innocence, that's fine, so now prove it. Mm-hmm. When the evidence is put forward, the scientific testing is put forward, we will then find out what was actually in his system, what the picograms were potentially, and obviously it will be dealt with from there on in. But right now, it's an absolute disaster. There's not much more you can say about it other than it's just, when every time we come around to this, you know yourself, you know, you're a fighter inside you as well, you know, and you don't want to go up against someone who's got an illegal substance in their body. It's an inherently dangerous sport. You can get irreparably damaged or even killed in the ring legally. So we've got to protect the safety of fighters in what is, as I say, an inherently dangerous sport. So this can't just pass. We don't want a scenario that Conor Benn has been in, where we've had almost, we're getting on for 2 years now since the positive test came out. Was it August the first one? I think it was.
Yes, August and then
2022. We're 3 months away from 2 years of that test. He's fought twice. We haven't had clarification. We've only had jurisdiction. We haven't had strict liability. And believe me, the New York State Athletic Commission come down very hard on these things. They can annul the fight. They can ban him for 4 years. They can give him a massive fine. There's all sorts of things they can do. So it's going to be beholden unto him once these statements come out from VADA, which I'm sure they will, for him to actually do something about it. He can't just use his social media and say, no, I'm innocent, I've never cheated. That is denying what's going on in the real world.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, like you say, Gareth, it's 24 hours into this news story, so I'm guessing we will find out more information in the coming weeks. So yeah, there's no point counting our chickens before they hatch, as they say. So this brings me on nicely, a nice little segue to the press conference last night in Las Vegas with Oscar De La Hoya. I want to say Oscar De La Hoya and Canelo press conference, because poor Jaime Munguia, who's sitting there, Oscar De La Hoya woke up that morning and chose violence. Because he had a sheet of paper, he'd written it all down, he said about 30 seconds on Jaime Munguia and he's going to win this fight, and then he went about 2.5 to 3 minutes on attacking Canelo. And then obviously Canelo said his piece. I mean, we knew they didn't like each other, but I didn't think that Oscar De La Hoya would wake up that morning and choose violence with Canelo at that press conference.
Well, there's a history, isn't there, Andy, of promoters and fighters falling out over money, and that's what they were talking about there. Canelo called Oscar a cabron, a wanker, and that he was a cheat and a thief, and he steals money from his fighters. I thought Oscar De La Hoya, by saying put some fucking respect on my name, wound Canelo up even more easily than I wind you up by putting some words on you sometimes. I think you're easier to wind up than Canelo, but I think it's a credit to you that you've got it all under control these days.
I'm a Scotsman, Gareth, man. I get wound up on anything.
No, but in all seriousness, Canelo was clearly rattled, and he wasn't going to let Oscar get away. I put my glasses off so we could do eyeballs just then. But he was clearly really rattled by Oscar. Like you say, it's a really good way of putting it, that Oscar woke up with the intention of creating violence with his words in there and getting under Canelo's skin. And he did a good job for Munguia, because Munguia doesn't talk a lot. And we'll just talk about that match in a minute. But it was an amazing moment. Oscar has got this zany way about him where he seems to fall out with his guys as well. He has with Ryan Garcia, if you recall. Garcia's kind of had a go at him and Bernard Hopkins in the build-up to some of his fights. Certainly Hopkins at times, but notably Oscar De La Hoya. I thought it was incredible to see Canelo push his stool back and go up, and the two bodyguards, for the older bodyguards of the two men get between them, because I think for a moment, as Canelo said afterwards, I think he spoke to your colleague Colm and Matt Lenihan from Boxing Social. I saw the little sit down with him afterwards. He was saying, no, I was really fucking angry because he's got a bugbear with Canelo, with Oscar De La Hoya over the finances when they were together. Says he still owes him money, which is fascinating, even though he's got more money than sense, Canelo, in his career right now. I know it was dramatic. It sold the fight. They clearly aren't friends. And I think he'd love to get Oscar De La Hoya in the ring, giving him a pasting, frankly. I think he'd like to lay one on him. I really got that sense yesterday that he was going to give him a shove if he could get near enough.
Yeah, I got that sense. And that was probably one of the few times that I've wished I could speak Spanish or understand it at least. It seems to me...
Oh, he was calling him a gay boy, maricón, wanker. He was really swearing at him. I mean, as you know, I speak Spanish. And he was calling him a thief and a liar and that he steals from his fighters. He was really calling on a fight. If someone was calling you a cabrón, maricón, all these things... So for you, that would be a call to arms. Yes. As simple as that. All I said was enough, and it was a call to arms.
It was the way you said enough. There was a way you didn't say enough. Your hands up like this. You went enough.
You are right. It's not what you do. It's the way that you do it. It's not what you say. It's the way that you say it. Yeah. And that holds for life. But yesterday, as you said, Oscar ignited a row between them. No question about it.
How does this play out, though, for Canelo? It can work either two ways. He could annoy Canelo that much that his game plan goes out the window, or he's peed off Canelo that much that he's going to go out there and do a demolition on Jaime Munguia. How do you see it?
I think he's going to get the double knockout. I think he's going to... I don't think he's going to get a double knockout. I was going to say he's going to jump on Oscar De La Hoya in the ring afterwards. He probably won't. They certainly won't shake hands. Mm. Munguia, I liked seeing them next to each other yesterday. Munguia's a big guy. He's grown up from light middleweight, hasn't he, all the way to super middle. If you recall, I remember seeing him against Miguel Cotto's brother on the undercard of a Mayweather event, I think it was, when Canelo made his Las Vegas debut. He got hit by about 15 straight right crosses in the first round by Cotto. The late great Don Chargin, one of the great guys in boxing, one of the promoters, he's gone now. He's a brilliant man. Always spoke to him. Spotted Canelo for Oscar De La Hoya when he was 14 with that kind of dip body shot hook that he throws. You know, the brilliant punch that he's renowned for. Doesn't throw it that much anymore, actually. I've got to say. When you think that Canelo's come up from the age of 16, 17, 18, 19, 19 he was then in that Vegas debut, he was a welterweight. He's come up all the weight divisions. It failed at light heavyweight. It worked against a faded Kovalev, but it didn't work against probably a pound for pound great 12 stone seven in Bivol. I still think he can be slightly overmatched at super middleweight. And seeing Munguia next to him, I'm coming to my point. Seeing Munguia next to him, he's a big guy. And I don't know if you know this, Andy, and I've told a few other people. Munguia's father was a heavyweight, yeah?
I didn't know that. No,
his father was a heavyweight. So regardless of the size of his mother, he's a six-footer. He's heavy-boned, and he fights like a heavy-boned man, doesn't he? And I think it could go one of two ways. I think Canelo looks really focused on the fight to me. I think Oscar's focused his mind. I really do. But Munguia could either bring the very best out in Canelo and we'll see a great fight, and I think he'll pip it on points, or his number may be found out by Munguia at this stage, who hasn't fought the elite level. This is no disrespect to John Ryder and Liam Smith either, by the way, who are great fighters. He hasn't fought someone of the caliber of Canelo yet, even though he looked good in comparison with John Ryder, with Canelo and Munguia fighting Ryder. Munguia has it in his capabilities to win this fight. We've not seen Canelo really hurt in a fight. Munguia can hurt people. But I just feel that what Oscar's done is he's sharpened up Canelo for Saturday night. I really do, because he's got, as I was saying, the double knockout on his mind now. He wants to knock out Munguia and stop Munguia, but he also wants to shut up the ex-promoter, Oscar De La Hoya. I've got Canelo winning on points. I know people say, yeah, but Munguia's volume punching is greater, and he probably hits a lot harder than a lot of fighters Canelo's been in with recently. We've got, let's not forget how great Canelo is and he has been. And I think we tend to overlook fighters when they've been around a long time. And we're disappointed that he's not having the David Benavidez fight. So I think it's a really good fight. How do you see it?
I see an action-packed fight. I think when Canelo gets somebody that comes forward to him and applies pressure to Canelo, that's when we see Canelo you start. If he doesn't really respect you, Canelo, not that's probably the wrong word again, but if he feels like he's on the front foot, he just won a big, you know what I mean? I think that Munguia's going to bring that old Canelo out where we're going to see the Danny Jacobs slip dips and rolls and counters. I think he might get to him. I think he'll drop him. I think Canelo might drop him. But I think it might be points as well because Jaime Munguia is big, he's tough, he's strong. You're going to have to be somebody much bigger and stronger than Canelo to knock Jaime Munguia, I believe. But yeah, it's an exciting fight. And I do want to touch on this last question, if you want to make it quick. You mentioned Liam Smith and John Ryder. Now, I've had this argument that people are saying to me, oh, look what Canelo done to John Ryder, look what Munguia done to John Ryder. But I say to them, you need to go back a few more years. Canelo stopped Liam Smith and Munguia didn't stop Liam Smith. Okay, Munguia might have just stopped John Ryder and Canelo might have went the distance with John Ryder, but styles make fights. Do you know what I mean? You can't read too much into past opponents and whatnot. So just, I think this is going to be a firecracker. And if you want to stereotype, and forgive me if I'm offending anyone, but if you want to stereotype, when you've got two Mexican warriors going at it, there's more to it than belts. There's bragging rights, there's pride, there's a nation behind you. There's more to it than this, and that's why it's going to be an absolutely firecracker of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say that in my discourse just now with you, but I do agree as well that there's an element in this fight that Munguia's style, his come-forward kind of aggressive style, may suit Canelo at this stage in his career because he is very clever. He's very evasive as well as and countering as well in his movement. I spoke to John Ryder about this. I did an off-the-cuff episode for DAZN with John Ryder that was fascinating just before he announced his retirement. It might have actually just been before the Munguia fight, but it was obviously after the Canelo fight. And he was saying the tiny adjustments that Canelo makes in the ring are amazing when you're fighting him, that he's so difficult, in fact, to fight, and that things come at you when you're really not expecting them. Like you say, there should be no disappointment about Canelo fighting Munguia. Yes, we want to see him in against David Benavidez, and I hope that fight happens. I also want to see him in against Terence Crawford, by the way. But I agree with you. It's a Canelo victory on Saturday night. I think it'll be 11-12 hard-fought rounds. Wouldn't surprise me if Canelo did stop him late, but it wouldn't surprise me either if Munguia nicked the victory as well. But I think he's going to have to stop him to get it.
I think especially with the, you know, I'm not, again, I don't want to get into specific.
I know where I'm going with weekend, it. Canelo owns it, all of that kind of stuff. Las Vegas, looking, that there's a psychological thing that everyone is looking for Canelo to win. They want the Benavidez fight. They want Terence Crawford, after fighting Madrimov, to step up and fight. I do. I want to see him fight Canelo. I don't think there's a massive size difference between the two men.
No, definitely. You've been around Canelo and Terence Crawford. They're the same height. I mean, Canelo might be thicker, but who's to say Crawford can't put on that extra little bit of beef? Do you know what I mean?
I think Crawford beats him.
I'm going to hold my tongue on that one until I... it's fascinating. So, like, you know yourself, Gareth, sometimes the only thing that beats a pound-for-pound great is moving up too big. Do you know what I mean? That's the only thing that beats a pound-for-pound great, just going that little bit too far in the weight divisions and meeting a bigger guy who matches you in skill set. That is the only difference. So it's definitely fascinating if we do get that. And the way boxing's going right now, where His Excellency Turki Ali Sheikh, the way his vision is, who knows? Who knows?
Exactly. If there's enough money on the table, Terence might step up to a fifth weight division. You just don't know.
Exactly. You know? Gareth, I've got to say, you've made my Thursday morning way better.
And great. Thank you. And you too.
And I appreciate your time and enjoy your paddle boarding. And I'll speak to you soon, brother. Gareth, do that. Do that. Let me see if it works. Do that.
Oh, that one.
That one, yeah. Watch. Hopefully it works because that will suit you perfectly. Is it working? No, it doesn't work. Normally there's like a laser beams. It does laser beams behind you. No, it's not working. Oh, well. Nah. You don't see my Sam Jones interview. I get Sam to do this and it does different things behind them. It changes the screen. Are you on your phone?
I'm on my phone.
Yeah, I might have to be a computer that you're on. Anyway, we'll do it next time. I'll show you next time when you're on the laptop. Gareth, thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day and I'll speak
to you later.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers. Bye.
Wall Street Memes Casino.
I'm fine.
And Sportsbook.
Podcast Network. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.